Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Okay, Dennis has to... There we go. I got it. The reason being is I've been unprepared tonight because my mouse was dead. My computer needed an update.
Hey, Bill, you were right.
Oh, Bill.
Seriously.
Mouse waker upper.
All right. But anyway, we are back again. We haven't been back for almost 2 weeks now. We took a week off because life got in the way. We are at episode 350. Can you imagine that? That's a lot.
I'm saying, wait a minute. Life didn't get in the way.
Didn't I just hear that number somewhere? 350?
Yeah.
350.
Anyway.
Wait till it's 420 day.
We are here with half of Pump 5.
That would be Pump 2.5.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. That's what she said. That's what he. That's better than what was it called? A three pump chump? Is that what it was?
Well, no, there's actually a band called that.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're popular in Northern California. I don't know about like national.
All right. For the people who don't know, Stephen, tell them who is with you sitting there tonight. The other half,
bass player extraordinaire.
There you go.
Better known as a goose because he can't keep anything down. He shits. It goes in and fucking out. So, AKA goose.
The goose is on the loose.
So, it has nothing to do with Top Gun. It's just about his eating habits.
It has to do with bottom pistol.
This show went in the shit.
It's always a shit show when they're on here.
It is a shit show. And I wouldn't want a shit show with any other people than you guys. Like I said, you guys.
If you put a thread, you could fucking put a thread through his mouth and he'd be shitting it out. And you could just fucking make a loop.
Oh wow!
There's a guy that did that. Actually, I've seen a TV show that the guy did that. He was like, "Wait." Oh shit! That's my wife.
That is disgusting.
Anyway, so let's talk about some cool stuff. So I don't even know where I want to start with you guys. So last time you guys were on, you had just done some videos. Mm. You had released an acoustic version of End of We.
Yes.
And then you had the actual video from Make Me had just came out at that point. You did that chicken house with all the shit around and all that stuff. You said you're going to try to get avian flu from that or something at that point.
Yeah, that's a fact, dude. It was like rat shit.
That's what
rats.
But anyway,
varmint.
And then you were finishing the album. Hmm. And then I kept, you know, I watch you on Facebook and everything. And then all of a sudden you said, hey, you know, you said it was Paradise Place. And all of a sudden, then poof, here it comes. And I tell you what, I listened to it and it's freaking fantastic. You guys outdid yourself. Number one, you're one of the, I'm telling you right now, I'm 58 years old. I haven't been impressed. Like I said, I'm a big Kiss fan. I've had all these other people, but there's two bands that have impressed me in my older years. That's been Marvelous Three and you guys.
Wow.
Like I said, when you came and gave me that CD, At Rockin' Pod, it has been almost 4 years ago.
Yeah, yep.
And it was a couple weeks later, and we get all kinds of CDs and cassettes, which I can't even play one. But I put your CD, and I was like, and that's when we got you on the show. I'm like, going, holy crap, you know. And ever since then, you've never disappointed, and this new album is not a disappointment. I've listened to those songs probably 100 times.
Wow,
I love it. I love it. I don't get tired of it.
Fuck so. No, you don't get tired of it. Look at it. I mean, listen to it.
And we'll talk in depth about these songs because I got a couple of questions for you. But anyway, tell us about the album and everything.
So we live on, I moved to this little house that I'm in where the recording studio where we are right now, which is separate from the main structure. It's on, my address is on Church. But the little street says Paradise Place. And I'm all looking at the side going, well, that's fucking weird. That's cool as hell. So we pulled in immediately. I started writing songs and I'm like, it's got to be a Paradise Place. I mean, it. So I have this little device called an iPhone. And when you do your recordings, it logs you on where you're at. And it says Paradise Place every time I do an audio recording, a sample recording. So that's how the name came up. We actually took a picture of our street sign. It's on the vinyl that you'll get to see here if they ever deliver the fucking things. They're so far behind. It's unbelievable how far behind.
That's normal. That's a normal thing.
Did you order them from Kiss Online? Because they're never going to come if they order them from there.
And
that's
just
a pot shot at Dennis, by the way.
I will fucking bitch and hold on. Moan.
Is that Keep It Simple Stupid?
Yeah. No, it's keep Dennis. It's keep Dennis's money for as long as possible, and then give him the product. Is what it is.
Yeah, dude, that's a great plan. I'm gonna get on that plan if you don't mind.
Can I have some? And you know what? And I like you guys so much. I would sign up for that plan. Keep my money for a while, and then give me the product.
It's like, well, just being a bank, right? Same thing a bank does.
Exactly.
Yeah, so man, we did that. We pulled some songs that we've had for a minute, and we wrote some new ones that we felt that needed to see the light of day. We've done a lot of demos in our life that were not sonically usable. And we definitely thought that there's some love that needed to be spread on a few songs. Drew speaks a lot, as you can tell. And he was one that was telling me, hey, we need to do this and this. He was correct. A couple of songs, Hello being one of them, right?
Yeah.
Into We. Holy fuck, dude. That song to me is amazing. How that never came out in a quality recording prior to this, I have no idea. I mean, it's just one of those songs, you know. I mean, it, you know.
And Rain.
Rain. I don't know how you could not
why are we not hearing the guitar?
Yeah, we're not hearing that guitar at all.
Yeah,
no, that's all right. I was sitting here. I was wondering to play something. It's the fact that those songs were not proper. Did no love. So Drew was like, hey, man, we need to get these out. We started working on with Dennis Hill, producer extraordinaire, who's done all of our records. And if we have it our way, he's going to do all of them. And we're not going to change if we can help it. So. Well,
you know, I don't want to go out of order because I was kind of wanting to go through a whole record thing tonight. But the one thing I like about End of We, you know, you put out originally that acoustic version of it. And that's the first time I actually ever heard it. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to it and I was like going, I love that song. I mean, yeah. I had a friend of mine. It was like going, you know, your voice is so strong and it gets to be almost a scream, you know, and with the acoustic version, it gets a little bit too much, I think, for some people. But when I heard it then on this new album, then I understand it. I mean, that's the same voice you're using with all the, I mean, it's a full production at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I like that. I like that.
What you're talking about is a live one track recording.
Right. Right.
Yep.
No, I was saying the one that I was talking about, the acoustic version, was just the one that, yeah, you did the one track.
That's deal. Live. That's 100% right. Live. We turned right on the camera, turned on the mics.
And... right. And of course, the vocals are going to be just way too much.
Oh, but I love it. I think that.
I do too. It gives me a chill, dude. There's that one line there just gives me a major chill. So,
yeah. My opinion, that acoustic version is way better than the record, my opinion.
I wish it would be like it can be a bonus on an album. I guess you could do it on a CD, but I would
bonus
like
to video. Have
that. The acoustic version is actually the original version.
That's right.
Okay.
Steve and I used to play just acoustic.
Yep.
Back in 96.
Yeah.
97.
Yep.
Around there. That's how old that song is.
Yep. Yeah. So all the songs are written on acoustic. There's no songs. I don't know. There might be some songs written on electric guitar, but acoustic's where it's always at for me.
So, okay, let's do this. We're going to go. I'm going to run through these songs because, you know, there's something we had talked about before about the lyrics to these songs. You know, how you said that, you know, some people make that song their own song you had a friend that, you know, it's like, this song here means this to me, that means that to you. And I think it's one thing great about lyrics is, you know, everybody's takes a different take of everything. But yeah. Hello, there's no way to take Hello any other way than what it is. I mean, it is.
What is it? You tell me.
Man, it's one of these. But anyway, that's a great opening song. That's a great opening song. You know, Hello, and then it's me again. I've listened to the album a couple times.
Yeah.
Apparently. Anyway, I love that song. I think that's a fantastic song. It's one of those ones. It almost gets like an earworm. It gets in my head sometimes. I'm like, going, oh, damn it, I got to think of something else because it just keeps running through my head. So that's one. I mean, I'm sure that was that something that was from something, or is it just?
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, you know, we don't usually explain our lyrics, but sure. That one was actually a girl leaving a message, trying to get a hold of me. Yeah, ex-girlfriend. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and of course we had, you know, adapted a few lyrics in there, but yeah, basically I wouldn't answer. She wouldn't answer. I wouldn't answer. It went both ways.
That's
funny. Hello, it's me again. I just called to find out if you're dead.
That's an option.
And actually, that's one thing I think I told you, like the last time, or maybe we were just talking it. So we were talking on the phone when we were getting this set up for this interview. You called me on Facebook, or you did a Facebook Live or something. You called me
Messenger.
Messenger or what it was.
Yep.
And I was just telling you, we were just listening to the album. My buddy told me it's so Cheap Tricky too. You have a very, very Cheap Trick sound. And that's the first thing he said. He goes, man, they sound like Cheap Trick. He's got that Robin Zander, you know, strong voice.
Wrong there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you can't take that as an offense.
There's a lot worse people out there. A lot worse people.
Right. Yeah, you compared me to G.O.D. So how can that go wrong?
You sound like Vince Neil. You know, it's like, no, I don't. But what I'm saying, that could be the worst thing. You could be like,
he just makes Mars.
Yeah. But anyway, but no, when we talked that day, like I said, all of a sudden I get this, and it was funny because I got a messenger call. And it was like, Steve, I was like, what the hell is it? We were trying to set up the thing, and I was telling you about that, but it was funny. He enjoyed that. He was like,
yeah, texting is like, fuck, I could tell you, like, in 2 minutes, or I could take 10 minutes to text you. It's like, fuck, dude.
I agree.
Ring, ring.
Hello? I appreciate that. it's me again. I just want to call if you're dead or if we're going to do this damn interview or whatever. So, anyway, so followed up with that, you had Make Me, which you have a video out for.
Yep.
And that's a great song. I like that a lot. That's a catchy hook. It's power on rock. It's a good song.
Yeah, I don't know that that's got any real deep meaning other than, you know, you're told what to do just about everywhere in life. I mean, everywhere, and music especially. You're told, you know, we've been in this game for a few fucking years, boys. You know that, you know, you have as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yep. It's not nearly like that now as it was when we came up. You were told you had to be in a section. That was it. And if you weren't in that section, you know, you'd had to find another section that you had to be in, you know. And that's a good thing about being independent. You get to not be in a section. You know, right? And I think we do a little bit of Southern rock, kind of fucking pop rock. I mean, we get deep. But that song is, I don't think it has an exact meaning other than the fact that exactly. It's
like, I don't really want you to, you don't have to tell us the meaning of each song. I always like to talk to each about each song. Because
Drew loves me.
You know, you said that you wanted to actually let people do their own thoughts on it.
Sure. But, sure. I always have. Always have. It's the best way to do it.
Exactly. And like I said, Circus was actually my favorite song for a long time on there. I just think that hook is really good. I think that's a catchy freaking song. And that's a radio song.
Really?
Big time.
Circus is great. I think we try to be pop melodic. You know, I don't know if that makes any sense, even though I don't have any like official guitar fucking training. It's all ear stuff. So yeah, man, Circus is one of my favorites off this record. But then again, you know, Call Me Tomorrow and that might be a different one.
That's the challenge I had. I've listened to it, I bet you, 20 times since we got it.
Isn't that a great challenge to have?
And it's like, I'm sitting here, earlier I was listening to tidbits of it earlier, right before we got on, and I'm like, because I'm just like, which is my favorite song? And it's like, damn, dude, there's, and you know, can't say that about every record. And actually, you might be surprised which one I like the best.
And the funny thing is my it changes like I change my underwear. And it's daily.
Oh God, every month or so? What the hell?
Never.
It hasn't even been out that long.
But no, it's daily. I honestly probably. I think that
Dre trying to do that.
Hold on. Can they hear us? Are they
I don't know. They look frozen. There
you
go. Live.
Can you hear us now?
Frozen. There we are. All right,
there you go. There you go. That's fine. I just want to make sure. No, and I changed my favorite song like I do my underwear. It's every day. And I listen to it and some of it. And I tell you what, the next song is the one that actually that's probably my favorite, second favorite off the album. And it's Cat Song.
Cat Song?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good
question. Where do you get an? I don't want to explain the song, but how does that cat sung?
Because the cat sung the song.
Yeah.
You got to look at it as a cat singing the song.
Cat sang the song to me. Where were you when I need you most? I left the cat. I got to tell the story. You can't ask me, well, what's it about without telling me what's it about?
It's no. Tell me.
Here's the deal.
That's going to change my whole view on this song because my fucking cat's an asshole. So now I'm not going to like it no more.
It's do it, Drew. Tell him.
All right. Wow. So
quickly, short version.
Short version.
We had this apartment. This stray cat came around. Yep. We started feeding it.
Yep. Faster.
This guy names it. Larry Dog, Mau Mau Lamau.
The third.
Anyways.
We leave it. We move.
Steve went back like 2 weeks later because he felt guilty to see if the cat was still there. And sure enough, it was.
It was actually waiting for me to come home for 2 weeks.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
And it sang this song to me. I put it in the car and took it home and it sang this song. And it's Cat Song. And now that's.
That. Changes my whole fucking perspective of that song. Yeah, now you ruined it.
It's funny you say that because when I was listening to it earlier and I, you know, a lot of times I'll put it on at work and I'll listen to music at work and I hear the music, but I'm not paying that close of attention. But when I was listening to it earlier, I'm like, when I saw the song come up and I looked at the name, I'm like, I need to really listen to this a little bit closer. And I listened to it because what I heard is exactly what you said. It was the cat singing the song, and I'm like, that is the most bizarre shit.
What a great cat. You know, that's a great thing. You know, Harry Dog Mau Mau Lamau the Third was the cat's name.
See, I'm not even that smart. I should have even thought of that. I never even thought about looking into the cat's perspective.
You're just not that smart.
I'm not. I'm dumber than a cat.
Best guest ever.
Okay, we've had enough. Steve's nice. He's Steve's a nice. Nice. We'll see you later. Bye. The best guest ever out here. Well, that's actually funny. I'm gonna have my wife listen to the song now again because I'm gonna tell her because she'll think it's fucking hilarious.
It's true.
And there again in this song, I like the way. Your verbiage. I don't know why. Did you cry like, instead of saying like, cry like me, did you cry like I?
Yeah.
I find that you did that in a couple songs on this album.
Yeah.
Your verbiage is different than most people when they write songs. And I pick up on lyrics and I like that.
That's awesome.
But I didn't find out that this was about a fucking cat. So I guess I'm not good about it.
Harry wrote it. So I just interpreted it. That's Harry's lyric.
That's fucking great. Wow. All right. So Cat Song, still my favorite, one of my favorite songs.
Well, it's your second favorite.
Second favorite. Okay.
Right. We haven't got
End of We. End of We, of course. I told you I love the acoustic. I love this version of it too. That's a great song. Yeah. And of course, you're using it instead of the end of us or the end of, you know, it's the end of we. I like the verbiage. I think that's really cool.
End of We again. Yeah. Yes. End of We again. You know, doing the same thing. What is that? Doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result.
Yeah. It ain't gonna happen.
End of We again. I mean, you know, it's it follows what we do in life, you know. I think that's a beautiful thing about music is that that you could fucking interpret what you can't say. You could put that into lyrics and music and people can understand it. You could go tell them that same thing in a text or a fucking conversation and it doesn't get across. And everybody looks at it different. It's a interpretation of that moment or where they are in their life. It could mean something really, you know, significant to them. Not that it doesn't mean something, you know, significant to us, because they're all babies. They're all kids of ours. You know, we have a lot of kids. We have a lot of kids.
Is that from just this tour or is this like from past
yes.
tours?
The answer is yes.
Is this like the penicillin tour or was this like the
this is fucking I got my shot tour. Only it's post.
It's not a COVID. It's not a COVID.
Post COVID.
I was gonna work that joke in there somewhere.
I know, right?
I was working it. Anyway. All right. So here we come to the real one. I want Junk Man. Please, please, to God, tell me this is a true story.
It's a 100% true story.
I had the first time I ever listened to this song, listening to it in the car with my just listening to the lyrics, I teared up, dude.
Did you really?
I honestly did.
You know,
and I go and I said, I said,
I take it back. You're not that much of a fucking asshole.
I'm redeemed. I redeemed myself.
Sorry, man. I have to take it back a little bit, bro.
I thought about it and I'm going, and I thought about it. I said, if this is a really true story, this is just a fantastic song.
So I come from mountain folk. I'll try to keep it short. Come from some mountain folk in the Arkansas mountains. And in the 40s, my uncle, they were dirt poor, blah, blah, blah. They lived in literally a one-room shack cabin with a pump well in the front, in the center of the house. No plumbing, nothing. And he was dying, and he was only about 14 or 15 years old. And they, at that time, when you got sick, they put you in a reformatory when they couldn't handle you. And you just were there the rest till you turned 18 and you're on your own. They give you up. Anyway, they're about to give him up, and these two people at the end of this old rock road came up, and one of them, the junk man and his friend, showed up and said that they wanted to buy junk and even buy bones. And said, we don't have any of that, Grandma says. And said, well, you have a sick boy inside. He came in and he did this prayer. My uncle told his story. I have a recording of it. And right. He tells the story that he didn't jump around, didn't do anything. But after he left, he had been out of bed in 16 months. And he got out of bed and never came down with it again, whatever that was. But then they lived only on four houses on this old rock road, dirt road. And they went up to say, hey, who was that guy, that truck that just came down here? And they're like, no vehicle ever came down that road.
Wow. Isn't that crazy?
No vehicle ever came down the road. They're like, nobody, you know. Back in the 40s, if you saw a vehicle up in the mountains, it was like you stood up there and waved, you know, they said.
Right.
So, yeah, true story. So God, devil, savior, whatever you believe in. My uncle thought it was God.
Wow. That is my favorite song on the album. It really is. It is. It's actually a touching, moving. Oh, look. It's not Dog Son. It's Cat Son.
Cat Son, yeah.
It's not Dog Son. He ain't going to say anything. He goes, give me some food, asshole.
Yeah. I want a treat.
I shouldn't have picked him up because now he's all excited.
Hell yeah. He thinks I got treats for him.
Thought there was a cat in there.
Humping your leg. But anyway, no, I'm glad to hear that that was a true story, because that's, you know, and we've all heard stories like that. I mean, there was, you know, there's these little things that happen, you know, people, our grandfathers and our late, you know, our older uncles and stuff like that, you know, that happened to them. And I'm glad it's a good story. And I'm glad it's a true story.
Yeah, we
did. Great song. It's a great song.
I come from a long line of musicians. We talked about this before, but they did in the 70s, they did this thing called Mile Marker One. And it was my uncle telling the story of his life. And he was going through these mile markers, and each mile marker was a different part of life. Well, we tried to recreate that about 10 years ago. We did Mile Marker Two. And in doing that, we got this interview from my uncle, which created Junkmen. So I'll send you on the, so, I'll send you the original recording of the interview.
So the stuff that you did put on the recording itself, that is your uncle talking?
That is my uncle.
Wow, yeah. That's really cool. That makes it even better. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I kind of figured with you having that in there, I kind of figured that it was a true story.
All green kick-ass guitar.
The lyrics are just fantastic in that. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
So my opus. Drew said it was my opus. Actually, he did.
Very good. Bill, do you like that song?
What?
Dude. I said, Bill, you said you listened to a bunch of them. Did you like it?
No, I've listened to the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. It was. I mean, I think the whole record is great. Right.
I didn't know that was my favorite one. You said something about you. That's what I'm saying. You were, I thought maybe that was going to be your favorite too. So,
no.
Alan. Yeah.
No.
Alan what?
No. Did you like that one too?
I like the whole fucking album, dude.
I know.
Fuck yeah.
Alan, I still didn't realize that.
I'm gonna be honest with you. A lot of the music that we get sent to us,
yeah.
You know, I try to listen to a whole album, and there's like two or three songs that are like I can sit through that, and the rest of it just like, is this ever gonna be over? Right. But that album was actually over, and I'm like, it's done already. That does not happen.
It's a quick 30 minutes.
It's a 32 minute. It's a Van Halen album.
That honestly, that does not happen to me very often. No. So I was really impressed.
You know what? You know why you do shorter sets, shorter records? For that fucking exact reason.
Absolutely. You know, I've got a friend that bitches if a band doesn't put out 80 minutes worth of music when they release a CD. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to hear filler, you know, because it's all filler, no killer. You know, I'd rather hear 30 minutes of killer, you know, or release a fucking single. And then when you get enough singles that don't suck, then release an album.
Yeah.
But I digress.
30 minutes is a good, I mean, that, like I said, and if you get, you know, X amount of songs in 30 minutes and the kick ass, like I say, when you get into the hour and two double record shit, unless it's just, you know, fucking fantastic, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to sit there that long. After I'm done with you, I'll listen to something else, and then I'll come back to it again.
Yeah,
you
know, but, want more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yep. And exactly, that's exactly what you
he's used to that with his love life.
So I promised is the next song, and it was funny because Junkman kind of ends kind of odd, and then there's like, because you got your uncle talking. And then you say something, and all of a sudden there's kind of a sound in the CD part, or when I'm listening to it on Spotify. I've been listening to it on Spotify.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the I Promise starts, and you almost think that's still part of that song. It's kind of.
So when you lay out a record.
Sure.
The space between the songs is a critical move as well. People don't realize that, how close you want it to be. Sometimes you make them overlap, which we did on the other record. And I didn't want to do that on this record, because if you change tracks, the beginning, you can hear the beginning, the end of the last song. Right. And I didn't want to do that this time. We did do that last time, but that was a very, a purpose timing
for right.
that to end and bam, then fucking, right. I won't let you down. Not ever. And then go right in, which I think is a kind of a spooky beginning.
But actually, it works. It's almost like the kind of like that. You know how Pink Floyd did that? You know, where everything kind of moved into one song, moved into another. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of like, it's almost like a continuation of a song. And that's why I was saying that. But I like that song also. It's just a great song.
I Promise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's music. That's the deal that we made with the devil, me and Drew. True. Said, I promise. He just never said when he would fulfill the promise.
I got to say, I think you got cheated, didn't you? You're supposed to be, aren't you supposed to be like multi-million dollar mansions and all this stuff?
Hold on. Hold on. Well,
that could be the door to a multi-million dollar mansion.
Oh, that's where all my money is. Hold on.
Oh, shit.
No. Oh, now you've done it.
Oh, the smoke and mirrors.
Hold on. I tore my multi-million dollar mansion down.
Your backdrop is gone.
Yeah, hold you need it.
Now we can all see behind the curtain.
You need it. That's a garage or.
Yeah, that's
where I hang out. That's where I hang out all the time anyway.
We cut drums in there.
Well, good. I tell you what, drums sound great in a garage.
Allen.
We did some recording in my garage, and actually the recording's pretty good.
Yeah, this is a garage we're in. It's converted. This is our recording studio, practice studio, sleeping arrangement quarters. Right. We have a bathroom, so we shit here. We can't shower.
Well, you could.
He was shitting right when I was calling you guys. He's all plugged up.
He's all Taco Bell. Taco Bell. That's what you need.
Taco Bell.
I won't eat that.
Don't eat that shit.
All right. So after I promised we got rain, I love the guitar in that. I like that digga 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 digga. I like that.
Yeah, it's
different. It's actually a lot different than most of your songs. It's almost kind of in a song itself. You know what I'm saying?
A progression. Dennis playing that. He's talking about Dennis's part, huh? So the producer plays guitar on this record as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Face to Face. He's a guitar player for Face to Face. Okay. He's a fucking phenom, bro. He's like insane. Great. He's playing that little riff that's in that. But I love it. That song is dark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And I don't know that it means anything in particular other than, you know, on the typical moves that we make. Somebody said we write the darkest pop that they've ever heard.
I don't see that. I don't see that at all.
I mean, thought that was a great line.
Yeah.
Dark pop. That's called dull razor blades, you know? Not enough to kill you, just enough to leave a mark, right? So that's kind of what we do. We fucking have always done that. And I think that's kind of what the Pump 5 sound, if there is one.
I always call it a punk Cheap Trick.
If that
makes sense. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense or not.
It does to you, right?
Yeah.
That's all that matters, right? Yeah. Each person, it just has to make sense to
right.
5 million people. And we're going to be totally doing this in a different place.
I need to start cloning myself a shitload.
Come on, let's go. I need to clone all you fuckers. Beards and all.
Bill, you're muted, Bill. You're talking, but you're not talking.
But I think that's, you know, I don't want you to sound like everybody else. I mean, you can hear everybody else. I mean, I get the bands that fall into kind of, you know, you get into that thing where you fall into a genre and that kind of stuff. And that's great. But I don't want you to sound just like every other band. Because if you sound just like every other band, then there's nothing unique and exciting about it.
I agree with you 100%. So, I don't know. I guess you could try. We could try, but we've kind of always
I don't think we've ever tried to sound like
right. That. It's just what we come out as. And then I think, I think that's what makes us unique. Same three dudes, me, Andre, and Drew for fucking years, bro. Like people don't, you know, have kids that aren't this old.
I think the Cheap Trick thing, though, is, you know, is a cool reference because it's they have a very unique, eclectic kind of, you know, there's just a big catalog there and it's a lot of different stuff. And when I listen to you guys' stuff, it's that when I think about that from what Dennis said earlier, that's what I think about. There's just different stuff on each record. It's not like you get the same sound songs all the time and it brings. And that's what I think is a cool part too.
I wouldn't try to step on you, but no, I didn't mean. I didn't mean like, hey, you're a Cheap Trick and blah blah blah. You're a clone. No, it's just that they have. I mean, Cheap Trick's got some dark shit. They got some lighter shit. They got poppy shit. They got this kind of stuff. You know, that's why, like I said, I'm drawn to you guys.
What they wrote about in the early days.
Oh, yeah.
Dark as it fucking gets, bro.
Yeah.
Murder, fucking drugs, fucking suicide.
Yep.
I mean, it's, and I feel like that's kind of where we may have been influenced in that. And to me, that's like dark pop, you know, in some in a weird way. It's rock, but they definitely have pop elements, which is my favorite, by the way. Drew's favorite, too. He's not telling you, but I'm talking for it.
All right, so you got two more songs to finish this album out. You got Breaking Down, which have I got to your song yet, Bill, or not?
I'll tell you.
Oh, hey! Tell them about Breaking Down, Drew Cates. What is it about? I'll let him do it because I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't either. It's just,
that
I think
it's a fun one that fun. We did
live.
I think,
yeah.
I think we wrote that
live.
Just out of practice, we just started playing it.
Right. Yeah, sometimes you are influenced by what you write, by what you think the audience live will go. Because, you know, there's songs on the record that we have not and may never do on both records that we may never do live. And that's a shame, but true. I guess if you're Kiss or somebody on that stature, you would do them all. But you know, we got 35.
No, they play the same fucking songs
for the last 20 years.
Last 15 concerts I've seen has been the same goddamn list.
You hit a butt.
Let me do the money math. You fucking ain't right. They're gonna do the last same songs.
Yeah, the money math says keep doing that. They keep coming to the. Right. They keep flocking. It doesn't matter.
And play them tracks. Turn those tracks on.
You have to. Because unfortunately, Paul's lost his voice. And I've seen YouTube live from this last thing. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. You still sound great, dude. You're hammering it.
No tracks.
No.
Never. Not one thing. Never will. Not can't do live. Then.
No.
I mean, we make a lot of mistakes. Well, I don't. Drew does.
He just brought you on to be the whipping post, man. That's what happened.
It's not true. I'm the one that makes all the fucking mistakes. That's why I said that. He makes the least out of everybody, I would say. Wouldn't you? You'd probably get the least.
It's probably close between me and Andre.
Yeah. And Alex doesn't make a lot. I'm definitely, by far, I make the most mistakes. But I usually improv and...
You know what, though? It's live and you're having a great time and everybody's having a good time and who gives a shit? I'd rather hear a mistake. Like Bill was just going to say the same thing. I'd rather hear the mistakes than hear a fucking perfect show. That's
well, then you should come to our show.
So anyway, one more song on the record, Cheers, which, you know, what a way to end it. You know, you started with Hello and then you finished with Cheers.
Fucking, that's a Drew. Drew set up the lineup on that record.
There you go.
Best song of the record.
Oh, there you go. He got to it.
I can tell you, I don't know when the last time was that I listened to an entire record and went, they put the best song on the last damn track.
Wow.
That's really? Have you heard that? That's the first time I think I've heard that. I love Cheers.
I think it's a great song and honestly, I bet I've listened to that song 10 times. And it's because every time I listen to it, I'm like, that needs to be in the show because it's really kind of getting everybody going. And, you know, it's like you're thanking them for being there, but you don't end with that. Is that something in the middle? It's like everybody having a great time. Yeah. Well, cheers. And you're busting. I mean, I'm like playing that shit in my head.
Well, I don't want to ruin it for you. You'd have to come see, but we do sticks and there's a stick with that song.
But you do that song on the tour?
Yeah.
God damn. We do it. I'm not going to drive to Fort Wayne. We're going to get up there. He's going to go.
Put you on the list right now.
Yeah, you see what he's going to do is he's going to go when they make the set list. He's going to scratch that one out.
Motherfucker. I would go just to see the look of disappointment on Bill's face.
Oh yeah, I would just say, hey, we were gonna do Cheers tonight, but Bill came, so fuck.
It's exactly right. Yeah, I'll just keep drinking.
He sucked. You know, I hate going on his podcast, so fuck him.
Yeah, it's exactly right. No.
Yeah, no, that song was written for live, right? That yeah. We were like, dude, we.
That's a great live. That would I. Can't imagine that would be a great live song to get everybody going. I mean, that was, yeah.
So let me pop the bubble a little bit. We go and we say, hey, we wrote a song for you guys tonight. This is Every Night, Every Town. And like, we were out in the parking lot. We thought, man, we need to write you guys a song. So, you know, here, and then we play some kind of fucked up chord and like act like we don't remember it. And then we kick into Cheers. And then we put the city in end of chorus of the song, whatever town we're in. So we cool. Sing the town's name in.
Nice.
You know, Indiana would, you know, Cheers.
Fort Wayne.
So do you pick the city before you go in case you get some fucked up name and you go, we can't play that.
Gaspaloospa.
If you have to use the state, then you use the state. Yeah, you make it work.
You make it work.
Minnetonka. Yeah. Yeah.
Ohio. Oh, Coshocton.
Coshocton. So, shithole, Oklahoma. It's got to be that one.
It's a great song. People love it. Who was saying, we took we had a driver that went out with us. He helped us. Casey, he's one of our friends. But he's like, dude, that song gets the crowd going every fucking time.
Yeah, it's a good song. You get Bill going. All right, so this is a good segue, though, into going from the album to live. So you just went out on tour. How many dates did you guys play on this so far on your tour?
Well, it was only a short run. We only do, right. We'll do 10 to 14 days. 14 days, 13 days, port to port. So we did 8 shows in 11 days.
Yeah, and it pissed me off. You guys were in Nashville, and of course, it was midweek. You know, this dude's got a job, unfortunately. And, well, fortunately, maybe whatever. But for me to drive to Nashville, one, the thing was, and I, looking at the bill, you look like you were playing earlier, so I'm like, going, there's no way I can make it to Nashville in time to see you guys play, because I would basically just drove down, seen you guys do your shit, and then fucking drove back 2 hours, and, you know, being 2 hours down, watch your 1 hour and then come back. But I figured I wouldn't make it in time. And then when I talked to you the other night, you're like, well, we didn't go until 9. I'm like, well, motherfucker.
Yeah, it was always 9. It actually said it on the advertisement. You just didn't look.
I must have not. No, dude, ask Bill how many times I went to Nashville and drove back. He's like, well, you're fucking stupid. Because he
stops at like a rest area and sleeps for a couple hours.
I go to work the next day. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to, you know, but I want to do this shit. I can't, you know. So anyway.
You'd love touring because, you know, you've got to drive usually about a minimum 7 hours between venues. Oh. And it's sometimes 8 every day. It gets old quick.
Dude, every Saturday, I was getting home and every Sunday morning at 4 a.m. after eating gas station food, coming from the gigs, that pulling my trailer. Dude, I've done that. And I like those little, the burritos you get, those tortinos, whether they're called, you know what they're talking about.
Taquitos.
Taquitos, there you go. Little taquitos.
Roller dogs.
Yeah, they've been sitting under the lamp for at least like 18 hours. You know,
don't like them, you can break the window with them. You're so hard.
Yep.
But anyway, so are you gonna? Do you have more dates coming up though? That's what we want to know.
Yeah. So it's September. Okay. We're doing the first 2 weeks.
Okay.
It starts in Denver. It goes down through. We're gonna be in Kansas. We're gonna be Illinois. We're in Wisconsin, Michigan. Possibly Indiana. It's almost booked out now because it's only 9 shows, 11 days is what it is.
Holy crap, man.
Yeah, you pay well, that's the only way to do it. Thursday, Friday, yeah. Saturday, Sunday, dark Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Home.
I'm going to make one of those freaking shows because I'm going to Europe in July. And when I get back.
He did say it last time. He says it all the time.
Didn't he, Drew?
He does that. We know he does. Bust his balls. It's okay. We want to see it.
You guys, hey, you boys hear this guy? Because I think I heard this before.
Oh, about my trip?
No, about you going to come to their show.
You're going to make one of our shows.
Fuck you. I'm gonna show up. God damn it. I'm going to show up.
All right.
I better get some VIP treatment, too.
I won't put you on the list this time. You were on the list last time.
You're already on the list, Dennis. It's the shit list.
Seriously, I got your number. I know how to get in contact with you. If I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there, dude. And
I appreciate it. I mean, you know.
I do want to go. I do want
to
go.
You won't pay to get in if you guys show up.
No, I don't. Dude, I'll pay. Double. Whatever. I'll
pay buy double.
Pay double. He has to pay double.
I'm a fucker.
Fucker owes me. Alan and I are paying. You're paying double. You're that bastard.
He fucking owes me.
That's going to work, cocksucker.
He had me on, didn't even wear his fucking Pump 5 shirt. I can't find the damn thing.
You don't even have it somewhere.
Can't find it because you don't wear it.
Hey, have you sent him an Ages of Rock podcast t-shirt?
No.
No, but I will.
Well, what a dick.
What size are you? What size are you guys?
Two mediums here.
Mediums? You little guys. I got some larges, but you can shrink them. You can put them in the dryer and shrink them down.
Well, whatever you got.
You know what? They're really good though to use for cleaning your car, shit like that.
But they're not these. These are the ones. You can't even get these. I tried to order another.
You can't order those anymore. They were special edition.
Yeah.
Limited.
So,
they were.
When are we looking at vinyl? I mean, I know you can get it on all, your Spotify. That's why I've been listening on Spotify. And the thing is, I would buy a CD, but I don't have a CD player.
Well,
honestly.
Whatever. Do it any way you want.
I want the vinyl. That's what I want. Okay, I want to buy it.
I'm not sure what our ETA is on it, but dude, it was 5 months and it just went to press. I approved the test press. Yesterday.
I saw that. Yeah.
So anytime in the next 5 months, but I'm going to say end of the year, October.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and buy digital. And then, like I said, I'm going to go ahead and I'll buy it digital so I can have it. So I'm paying you guys.
The Taylor Swift record store day bullshit is over with. So she hasn't hogged up all of the vinyl presses. So it might not take quite 5 full months.
That bitch.
Hey, if that was you, you would be all over getting your 10 million copies pressed too. Don't even act like you would.
I'm buying a vinyl press just for the record. I'm going to start.
He's on his garage going. Ksh-sh-sh.
No, I'm going to start a company. I'm starting a vinyl press company.
There you go. There you go. Yep.
Right on.
Go for it.
I've already got some inquiries going. I might have a kaput company in Florida that I might take over.
Cool. Good. You're in California though, right? You're not. Yeah. So I thought.
But
you don't have to be there. You can make a phone call and say, "You motherfuckers, press some more records, right?"
Well, you know what? They have clientele and everything, but they have a press that has prestige, and I want that press. And it has some.
Oh, history. Cool.
I don't want to get too deep in it because then but if I get it, I'll tell you the whole story.
I was going to say, wait to tell that story.
Yeah, we want
to
hear that story later.
And let us be the first people to tell that story. Come on our show. We like the – Bill and I, of course, love that. And I'm sure Alan would love to hear about it.
Oh, no, apparently Alan doesn't love anything except his beard.
It smells so good.
It smells good.
It smells like corn.
Corn and orange cones, because we're in Indiana.
Now the last time you guys were on the show, I did not have a record player. But, you sent the vinyl. I've got a couple other vinyls that have either been given to me or, whatever. But I do have a record player now because someone gave me one.
Well, I tell you, the thing about vinyl is I've learned it a lot, but I had to buy a new one. I had to actually buy a real fucking turntable.
And why was that?
Because There's so many fucking things you miss on a cheap needle, cheap record player that I didn't know. Fuck, I didn't know. But the thing about vinyl is what I was going to say is you hear things on vinyl that you can't hear digitally. It's a different mastering process.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I love it.
That's why Bill and I, but I sent you a text. Remember we were talking about that. He's listening to this vinyl and he's listening to like this one, this little Crosby, little portable album thing. I'm like going, you're listening to Test Pressing on one of those. I said, you need to get a fucking real record player.
I got an Audio Tech.
There you go.
Audio Techniques.
There you go.
Fucking smoke a bud.
Yeah, he's playing on some kind of little fucking one speaker thing on his Test Pressing. I'm like going, are you fucking kidding me?
Did it come? Did it close? Like the little ones used to close up and yes, carried it with you.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's not far off of that. My daughter moved out and left it.
Cool. Hey, that works.
I was laughing my ass off, and I was texting him going, "What the fuck are you listening to that Test Pressing on that fucking album?"
This sounds great.
What? That sounds. Well, I'm sure it sounds great because it's great music. But you gotta have a better turntable. Yeah.
You have to put a quarter. Did you have to put a quarter on it or anything? Or
you do. Well, it depends. Sometimes it's a dime and a penny. Depends.
I remember those days.
I do too.
My mom, and this is no shit. You remember baby bottles? Okay. The old style baby bottles that had that rubber, the nipple, and it had like the larger part that's like almost like a big washer that went underneath the lid.
Yep, I know exactly.
My mom cut the nipple part off, and that's what we put on our console to keep the records from skipping. You put it on that thing across the top.
It doesn't matter what it is. It's a weight thing, right?
It's a balance. It's a balance that thing.
Rubber nipples.
I listened to the Kiss Destroyer on that console with a fucking nipple, with a nipple on it.
Rubber nipples. That's a Ren and Stimpy thing. If you guys ever look, what's Ren and Stimpy?
Oh, yeah.
It's the funniest thing ever. If you watch that episode, just look up rubber nipples.
I like Stan and Rippy. It's a knockoff.
Too funny.
All right. Well, I'm going to, like I said, are you going to be putting on your website all your dates when you get everything situated for September?
It should be up in the next 2 weeks. We should have it all locked
great.
In.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah. So pimp your website.
Yeah, pimp it. Yeah. Pimp it. Pump
the pump.com, which is what we always put up. We always put the tour dates right on the front. So if you go to pump5music.com, the number 5, and you can go anywhere. If you Google PUMP number 5, one word. The number, it'll come up.
Just like on Alan's shirt.
Yep. Spotify. It'll come up on all our platforms. You can YouTube. They're all PUMP number 5 music. And you can get us on Facebook, Instagram. I think you could probably pull up Drew's Corn if you really type hard.
Great.
You gotta hit the number 2.
You gotta hit the number 2.
Hit the number 2 for that. Not 5. Pump 2. Pump 2.
But anybody who's listening to this program, please. And I know we got 5 or maybe 6 people listening to this. But anyway.
It's totally gone in the shitter.
But listen to this album and then go back and listen to their previous albums. I mean, like I said, this is one of those bands where I'm telling you, you are my favorite band, current band that I listen to.
I'm just glad you're in a separate room, guys. Because if you weren't in a separate room, I have no idea what he'd be doing to you two right now. He'd be all up in it. I'd be like,
he'd be hugging you.
Give me a hug.
Because, I always say that only 3 things matter. Well, I don't say it, Quincy Jones, but I use it. And the song.
Right.
And that's it. That's the truth. And if you play that rules, those 3 rules, then you live forever. It's the only way you can live forever. Drew wants to live forever.
Well, so far,
that's
so
a
good.
Long time.
Yeah. I just get tired of hearing the same old shit, and the older bands that have been around are putting out the stuff that they put out. I don't want to hear it. It's just not good. And the thing is, your stuff is fresh. It's something from out of this corner here. And I just love it. I mean, it's like, good Lord. And then of course, Marvelous 3 is putting out, and they're getting back together for a real small concert. They're releasing an old album, and they're putting out a new album. And I'm like, yes. I mean, and then Foo Fighters were my big guys for a long time, and then the last two albums have sucked balls, and I'm just not into them anymore. I just,
so you know, the thing about being independent, you're not obligated to ever put out right. another song ever. Right. When you're obligated, you're pushed. You're not gonna be your best. It just isn't. So we do. I was on the phone with Dennis Hill. We're talking about the next record, which we're already started, by the way.
Ooh, I'm excited. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, and Hill's all, you know, we were talking about the songs, and I was like, yeah, I don't give a shit. I don't, if it ain't no good, I don't want to put it out. So we're talking about the songs. He goes, how are you gonna beat that, Barno? He calls me Barno. Barno, how are you gonna beat that one? I go, well, we're behind you. Or we won't put it out.
Right.
That simple.
So I may or may not get a new album. It just depends.
No, 100% you'll get a new album. We write too much.
I have faith in you guys.
You should.
Please give me a new album. I want as much music as I can get from you guys.
Did you think Paradise Place would be better than fucking Full Service? I was questioning it.
Paradise Place is fan. I mean, Full Service is a great album. Don't get me wrong, but Paradise Place was, man. I tell you what, you stepped it up. Now you got to step it up again. There you go.
He's already got it covered.
There you go.
That's what he does. Drew, he covers my ass. I do the talking. He does the fucking actually walking.
He's Drew CYA.
he's EF Hutton.
Drew's sitting over there going, isn't this over yet? What time is it?
He goes, you're putting a lot of pressure on me. I haven't said a word, and now I got all this pressure on me. It's like, what the hell?
How long does this go on? What time zone are they in?
Right. Are you guys all Central?
Yeah.
Nope.
It's 8:03. Oh, no. Bill's in Eastern. Eastern. Oh, wow.
3 hours. All right.
Well, I'll take us out of here. Y'all hang out real quick. Y'all make sure you visit pump5music.com. Check out the new album, Paradise Place. It is fantastic. And while you're on that internet thingy, get on 80sofrock.com and check out our past episodes and our social media links. And until next time, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.